We, over the last few days, have talked about a definition of charity. We looked at the Greek word agape, and we know it means love. We looked at the English word charity, and we know that means Christian love. Specifically, as the word charity is used in the New Testament, it's talking about the love that I as a Christian have to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we, on the basis of that, understood, well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not primarily directed to marriages, boyfriends and girlfriends, the things we commonly attribute it to, but it is directed towards that love that we as Christians should have for one another. Last night, as we looked at the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we saw very clearly that it is in the context of a church that's operating as a body. And we saw some of the things that were going on in that church, which really bring home and bring to light the things that are revealed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We did all the way along say that we're not going to give you a definition of charity or a definition of love, but that what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 does, and the rest of the Bible actually does, is what it does is it demonstrates or displays charity. You know, the interesting thing about a family camp is at church, for an hour or 2 hours, we can put on a good face. But family camp often demonstrates what we're really like and the sort of people we are. See, when we talk about that love as a display or a demonstration, you know what that means? That it's not just talk. And we're good at talk, but it's when it comes to action that we struggle. And I don't want to pick on anybody or say anything about anybody, but I just want to share some things which I hope will help you to understand that charity, the love that we show to our brothers and sisters in Christ, is not just what we say with our mouth, but what we demonstrate in day-to-day actions. Last night in chapel, 25 people put up their hands and said, "I'm going on the glowworm trip." More like 45 people turned up. And there were some people that were leaving that night that didn't get on the boat until a few people showed some charity and hopped off so that they could go on. But to me, and I'm not telling anybody off, I'm just sharing because charity is about what we display or demonstrate. It's not just what we say with our mouth. But when you look at that sort of situation, people sat on the boat and didn't move, who knew very well they hadn't put up their hand in chapel, and there were people that had put their hand up and were leaving that night, and it was awkward. And it shouldn't be like that in the body of Christ, should it? And some of you may have gone through the last three chapels and think, yeah, this all sounds really good, but it doesn't relate to me. But maybe if you think about last night, hang on a minute, it actually does relate to me. Because it's not just about talk, it's about my actions. As you look around and you're all in groups, there's six groups, and I just casually observe and I see half the group there doing their duties. Where's the charity of the rest of the group? Where's their love towards their brothers and sisters in Christ and their team that they're not there? See, that's practical. That's how we display or demonstrate charity. It's not just about the talk. It's not just the songs we sing in chapel, "Here am I, Lord, send me." But it's about our actions, isn't it? You know, I walked out of the dining hall. This is a little simple thing. And there's a cup sitting on the barbecue table out there. I examined it very closely. It didn't have legs and make its own way there. Someone drank from it, left it, and thought, someone else can pick that up. And where's charity? Where's the love that I show to my brothers and sisters in Christ? So it goes from the very little things to some of the larger things. How many of you, all camp, during meals, have sat with the same people? And we talked last night about, in Corinth, these people that sat in their own cliques. See, it's not just about talk. It's about, how do I actually demonstrate and display my charity to my brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that want to be involved in leadership. They want to be at the front and lead the singing. They want to be in the front. They want to preach and they want to do sorts of things. But when it's time to pack up the chairs, they're nowhere to be seen. And see, charity is not just about what we say. Charity is about what we display and what we demonstrate. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're not seeing a definition. What we're going to see what charity is, and we're going to see what charity is not, and we're not going to define it in that sense. But before we look at the first three verses this morning, it's very important for us to understand where charity comes from. Sometimes we think that this Christian love that we show to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that somehow we have to work that up inside ourselves to be able to do it. But Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 tells us that love, agape, is a fruit of the Spirit. That means that that is something that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. And you can go through your whole life and try and work up love for some of the unlovely in the body of Christ, and you're never going to do it. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out, He will produce that love in you, that the people that used to irk you, or the people that used to rub you up the wrong way in the church, that you can actually genuinely love them, because it's something that the Holy Spirit is producing in your life. You say, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, Romans 5 verse 5 confirms it. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within. And He began that work in you to change you and to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. And part of that work is producing that fruit of love in your hearts, so that you're able to, with charity, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 it says, Beloved, let us love one another. Where does that love come from? The next phrase says, For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How do we get charity? How is it that we're able to show this Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to recognize, number one, it's something that the Holy Spirit produces in our life. As He dwells within and changes us from the inside out, He sheds abroad this love in our hearts that we're able to share it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because for us to love one another, we've got to realize that love comes from God. And that's important for us to understand as we approach the subject of charity. If you've got your Bibles, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd like to look at the first three verses this morning. And as we look at the first three verses, I want us to think about the preeminence of love. Our love is number one, the value of love. So let's read the first three verses, and let's read all three verses together, okay? Out loud. Together, go. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. As we approach these first three verses, something's important that you need to understand as you look at them is that the Apostle Paul, as he writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he uses an English, can't think of the right word, but he uses hyperbole. He's saying, what's hyperbole? Is that one of those things? No, it's not that. Hyperbole is using exaggeration to make your point. And it's not the exaggeration we use when we say how big the fish was we caught. That's not hyperbole, that's lying. All right? Hyperbole is going to the extreme to make your point. So, for example, in verse 1, when he talks about the way we speak, he's talking about the greatest orator that has ever spoken. When he goes into verse 2 and he talks about the gifts that God has given to us for us to use within the body of Christ, he talks about all understanding. He talks about all faith so that you could remove mountains, right? So there's that hyperbole, there's that exaggeration to just really get that across. And then when you come to verse 3, you know, it's not the person that just takes the spare change out of his pocket, but it's the person that sells everything that they have and give it all to the poor. So you see that there, that's that hyperbole, that's that exaggeration. And he's using that to make his point even stronger. So I want you to understand that as we go into this. So we're thinking about the preeminence of love, its value. The preeminence of charity, Christian love that we show to our brothers and sisters in Christ and what the value of it is. So firstly we're going to look at verse 1 and we're going to see the value of charity in my words. The value of charity in my words. See, as he writes here and speaks about, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he's not talking about the miraculous ability to be able to speak in other languages. He's talking about our ability to be able to speak as the greatest orators speak, or as one of the greatest angels would speak. And when I think about that, I think about the angels around the throne and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And if we were able to speak like that, that sound there in heaven as they're praising God, or if we were able to speak as the greatest orator could speak, if we were able to be a Winston Churchill and make a statement that's remembered for years to come because of his great ability in the use of language, that's what he's talking about. And it's interesting, as we saw last night, when you look at this verse, to consider that the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, the brothers and sisters in Christ, they were priding themselves on their great oratory, weren't they? And so Paul comes in here and he gives an exaggerated example of the greatest orator, the greatest speaker there could ever be, as he talks to these people who prided themselves on how they were able to get up in church and share a testimony, and it sounded so grand. Of these people that when they had a pub business meeting, they were able to get up and give their opinion so beautifully and eloquently. These people, as they sat around in their love feasts, that they were able to share their point of view on the Word of God, and it just came across so wonderfully, their use of language. They prided themselves on that. But you know what Paul says and what he's saying in this verse? He's saying you could be the most eloquent orator the world has ever seen, but without charity, it has no value. Without charity, it has no value. See, someone can come, get up and speak, and they can tell the most moving story, and people can be in tears. But all that's done is tickled their ears and their emotions. But without charity, it never reaches the heart. And if all we are is being puffed up in our speech and trying to impress people with that, Paul says, that has no value without charity. You see, those words sounding brass are a tinkling cymbal. And it's the idea of it's just an empty noise. It's like beating on an empty drum. Yeah, there's a lot of noise, but there's no value in it. It tickles the ear, but it doesn't reach the heart. And it's interesting that Paul approaches the Corinthians, and go back to chapter 1, verse 17. And he talks about that as he came to these people and as he spoke to them, what his approach was. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Paul said, as I came and as I spoke to you, he said, and remember, Paul was highly educated. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, highly educated. But he said, when I came, he said, I didn't come trying to show my wisdom by the words that I spoke. Because if I do that, that's just beating on an empty drum. And all people hear is my wisdom, and they look to me, but I want people to look to Jesus Christ and see who he is. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now that really brings it into perspective, doesn't it? When we're talking about this, what were things like in the church at Corinth? Oh, they were strutting around saying, what a great orator that I am. Paul said, when I came, it wasn't about oratory. It wasn't about wisdom. Carry on in verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, in fact, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Because it's not about oratory, it's about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do you see it there? Charity is the most important thing. It's our demonstration and display of Christian love to one another. It's not the great speeches that we can make or the great testimonies we think that we're sharing. It's about, is there charity in my heart to my brothers and sisters in Christ? And if there's not, all the words I say are just empty and of no value. That's pretty strong when we consider that, but that was the issue in the church. But let's not just think that was the issue in Corinth. Let's think, is that the issue in my body that I fellowship in? Is that issue in me? Am I like that? Am I always the one to get up and have a lot to say? But do I truly show Christian love to my brothers and sisters in Christ? And in those times when you're ready to get up and give your opinion, realize that if you do it without charity, you're just beating on a drum. You're making noise, but it has no value to your brothers and sisters in Christ. A commentator, Dr. Scroggie, he said this, language without love is noise without melody. Language without love is noise without melody. And if we'd actually stop and think before we speak and say, am I speaking in love? Am I speaking in such a way that I can demonstrate and display my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Maybe we might speak less often than we do. J. Vernon McGee said this. He said, chatter without charity is sound without soul. I like that one. Chatter without charity is sound without soul. When I, as a Christian, when I speak, do my words display and demonstrate my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Or are my words putting them down? Or are my words tearing them apart? Or when I speak, do I speak with charity and my words build them up? J. Vernon McGee got a little bit stronger than the chatter without charity one. He said this, you can sing like an angel, but without love, it is nothing but the hiss of hell. You can sing like an angel, but without love, it is nothing but the hiss of hell. And that's the reality of what the Apostle Paul is saying to us there. Oh yeah, we can get up and we can say grand things. We can sit with our friends and make great statements. But if the words that we speak do not have Christian love, display and demonstrate Christian love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's like the hiss coming from hell. It's like an empty drum making a lot of noise, but there's just nothing to it. And let me say that while I'm saying it, is I'm really trying hard with God's help to be careful in the words I say about my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if I don't display and demonstrate charity in the words that I speak, what I say is totally meaningless. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love. Agape. If I want to demonstrate Christian love toward my brothers and sisters in Christ, one, I do need to speak the truth. But I must also speak it in love. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, it tells us about Jesus Christ's incarnation, and it says, and the Word, that's Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Here's the last part of that verse. Full of grace and truth. Balanced. Sometimes we think, yeah, to be the right person, I need to speak the truth. Doesn't matter how I say it and what impact it has on the other person, I've got to speak the truth. And a lot of fundamental Christians are like that. I've got to speak the truth and I've got to let people know the truth, and they're some of the ugliest people that have ever lived on this planet. And you can think of some of those, and I'm not going to mention Westboro Bats, those people. But they think, I'm speaking the truth, but how ugly they do it. And all they're saying is like beating on an empty drum. Because there's no charity, there's no love there. We need to be balanced. We need to speak the truth, but we need to speak it in love. In love. Someone said, truth without love is brutality. But love without truth is hypocrisy. I'll run that past you again. Truth without love is brutality. But love without truth is hypocrisy. For those of you here, and I'm talking to myself as well, that think that your gift is to speak the truth to other people, please, please, please make sure it's always done with charity. That it demonstrates and displays your Christian love for your brother and sister in Christ. Because otherwise, all the truth you speak is just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It profits you nothing, it profits that person nothing, and it tends to, rather than edify, it tends to destroy. See, charity gives meaning to what you say. Charity gives depth to what you say. Charity makes eloquence meaningful. It gives it value. And when we consider the Christian love that we showed to our brothers and sisters in Christ, the first thing that Paul addresses is, in my words. Do my words that come forth from my mouth give value to my brothers and sisters in Christ? And if they don't, you might as well keep your mouth shut, because it's just an empty sound. An empty sound. Let's look at verse 2. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. We saw last night that the Corinthians took great pride in their spiritual gifts. But look how they treated their fellow Christians. And that's a danger for us too. Yes, the Bible is very clear that God has gifted every single one of us to be able to be a part of the body of Christ. But if we glory in our gifts and abilities that God has given to us, and we're not actually showing charity toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, there is absolutely no value in the gifts that we have. God might have gifted us to be a preacher. But if we can't demonstrate or display Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you this, all your preaching and teaching has no value. That's what the passage is telling us. It's not me saying this. The first one he mentions there is prophecy. Prophecy. It's very clear in the scripture that the Holy Spirit has gifted men and women with the ability to communicate the truths and the revelation of God. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is not foretelling the future. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, all those people, they couldn't foretell the future. God revealed to them the future, and they told us about it. That's prophecy. And prophecy is a gift from God to men and women, the ability to be able to communicate the truths and the revelation of God. But notice what he says. If you have that gift of prophecy, being able to communicate the truths and the revelation of God, and you do it without Christian love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, it has no value. Your gift has no value. The second one there is understanding. Understanding. You know, many Christians understand the mysteries of the Scripture. They can dissect the dispensations. They can wax lyrical on what the prophecies of Daniel all mean. And they could give a great dissertation on the poetic imagery of the Song of Solomon. They have understanding. But without charity, it has no value. All your understanding of the mysteries of God and the truths of God have no value, this verse is telling us, if you don't display and demonstrate Christian love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. The next one there is knowledge. Many of us here and many Christians around the world have great knowledge. They can prove it by the certificates they've got, the degrees that hang on their wall, which all testify to their knowledge. But once again, this verse says, but without charity, without displaying and demonstrating Christian love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, your knowledge has no value. Since I heard it, this is one of my favourite statements. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Because that's charity. That's displaying and demonstrating Christian love. And you can have all the degrees, and you can have all the knowledge, and you can spout it forth. But if you do it without charity, without Christian love toward your brothers and sisters in Christ, it has no value. No value. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And notice with me verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. And what he's dealing with here is he's dealing with meat that's been offered to idols. And he says people that have the knowledge and understand that there's really no issue eating meat that is offered to idols, they get puffed up and think, I know this stuff, so I can do this, and it doesn't matter what effect it has on other people. And people that are a bit younger in the faith or a bit weaker in the faith, people that are still learning, they just run roughshod over them because I have the knowledge and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And so he says, knowledge puffeth up. But charity, Christian love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, edifies. You go roughshod because you have the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Go roughshod over the weaker brethren. You're going to destroy them. But charity, you're going to build them up. And then Paul reminds us in verse 2, even though all of us think that we know a lot, what does he say? If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Just a reminder that what we do know is very little. He repeats the thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 later on. We know in part, but there is coming a day when we're going to know. Knowledge. Using our knowledge, being puffed up because of what we know, but actually rather than showing charity, we're actually hurting our brothers and sisters in Christ. Then he mentions faith. And I want you to realise he's not talking here about saving faith. Right? He's not talking about, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves, the gift of God. He's not talking about that moment when you trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour and he gives you eternal life and you are safe and secure for all eternity. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the faith in God to be able to do things as we go on in our Christian life. And once again, there's the hyperbole, isn't it? The hyperbole is there. If you had faith that you could move mountains, there's the exaggeration. But you don't have charity, even that faith has no value. How do we demonstrate and display Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Verse 1 says, it's in our words. It's in our words. It's what we say. Secondly, we've seen, it's in how we use the gifts that God has given to us. God's given us a gift for singing. Or God's given us a gift to be able to communicate the truths of the Word of God. Or if God's given us a gift to be able to get alongside people and encourage them and build them up. He says those gifts need to be displaying and demonstrating our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then thirdly, verse 3. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Thirdly, he says, it's in my giving. In my giving. How do I display and demonstrate charity, my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ? It's in my giving. And he goes to the extreme. He says, if you took all your worldly possessions and sold them and gave it all to the poor, or if you went to the extremity of martyrdom, that you gave your life to be burned, and you do it without charity, without displaying and demonstrating Christian love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, he says it has no value. It has no value. Amy Carmichael, the missionary, said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And Paul is saying here, you can go to the extremities of giving, but if you do it without love, it has no value. Read Isaiah chapter 1 sometime, where the Lord talks about, you guys are coming here and you're bringing your offerings, and you're bringing your sacrifices, and you're singing your songs, and you're doing all these things. And he basically says, I'm up to here with it. I'm just putting in a little bit of New Zealand colloquialism here. But he says, it makes me sick. Because you do all these things, but you don't actually love me. Your heart's far from me. And you do all these things, but they have no value to me. Because your heart's far from me. And there's an application here. We're saying, you can go to the extremity of giving, but if you do it without charity, without demonstrating and displaying Christian love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, it has no value. If you've got a piece of paper and a pen there, do something for me. You don't have to, that's okay if you don't. But I want you to write some numbers down on a line, all right? Right, we've seen firstly, eloquence is zero. So write a zero. Prophecy without charity is zero. Write another zero. Understanding without charity is zero. Write a third zero. Knowledge without charity is nothing. Write another zero. Faith without charity is nothing. Write another zero. Sacrificial giving without charity is zero. You should have six zeros there. See, no matter how many zeros you write there, it still has no value. What I want you to do with those six zeros, I want you to write a one in front of those zeros. What have you now got? A million. It takes one thing to make all those things we talked about have great value. And that is what?
Charity.
Without charity, it's just a whole bunch of zeros. We add charity, and suddenly it has great value. It has great value. Charity brings value. I'm going to finish by looking at Jude 12 and 13. Second to last book in the Bible, full Revelation. There's only one chapter, verses 12 and 13. We read there, it says, "These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Now specifically, he's talking about apostasy. But I want you to notice in the beginning, he's talking about these feasts of charity. And you go to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, that's what it's talking about. They were having these love feasts. See, in the early church, the churches would have these love feasts. And part of the idea of these love feasts is that they would come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and the idea was to promote and to maintain brotherly love toward each other. Charity. They were called love feasts, but also call them charity feasts. The idea was, very specifically, especially in that first century, was that the poor people could come and they could be refreshed by the others. They would provide them complete meals, they would make them feel comfortable, and the idea was that they would demonstrate and display Christian love to their brothers and sisters in Christ. These love feasts would begin and they would end with prayer and singing. But Jude writes and he says, there's spots on your feasts of charity. These love feasts you're having, these charity feasts you're having, there's some spots starting to appear and they're not good. It's a sign of things are becoming a little bit diseased and we need to deal with this. What started to happen? Well, these love feasts were supposed to be marked by temperance, self-control, and by frugality. It was something very simple that would demonstrate love to brothers and sisters. But what happened? They started overeating and overdrinking. It became uncomfortable in some of these churches to where they actually excluded the poor and it was just for those that had. They set up, here's separate meetings, you poor can go and meet over at those meetings, we're going to meet here. Not only that, but they invited other people to join them that shouldn't have even been there, and that you see there in verse 12. But what jumped out to me in verse 12 and 13 is these things that started out as these love feast places where they would display and demonstrate love to their brothers and sisters in Christ turned into something that became spotted and diseased. It turned into something that, as you look there, just all puffery and nothing. Clouds without weather. Trees that don't bear fruit. And we need to be very careful and we need to learn the lesson here from 1 Corinthians that if we do church, if we do ministry, if we do all that we do in the name of Jesus Christ and we do it without charity, you know what it's going to end up like? It's going to become spotted and diseased. We're just going to be big empty clouds, but there's no water there. We're going to be like raging storms, this big noise, but there's actually nothing to it. And that's what Paul's warning us against. He says the number one and most important thing, as you are a part of the body of Christ, is the Christian love that you display and demonstrate to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if that's not part, then everything else you're doing has no value. It's just puffed up, pride, even the love feasts you have have become spotted and diseased and unachieving what they were originally designed to do. Charity makes a difference. It makes a difference within our churches as we display and demonstrate our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Firstly, through the words that come from our mouths. Secondly, by how we use our gifts as a part of the body of Christ. Folks, we can put money in the offering. But if we don't display and demonstrate true love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, God says, we've got no value. And yet we pride ourselves on our giving. We pride ourselves on our service. And yet the only thing we should actually pride ourselves on is how well we demonstrate and display love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. If the words that you speak about your brothers and sisters become spotted and diseased, have the gifts that God's given to you for you to minister within the body of Christ, have they become spotted and diseased? Has your giving and service become spotted and diseased? Because charity, your Christian love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, is not the most valuable thing. That's what Paul's speaking to my heart, and I trust he's speaking to your heart this morning as we consider what charity really is, Christian love for our brothers and sisters in Christ.